Welcome to the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Political Cesspool radio program, our award-winning broadcast, coming to you live this evening, Saturday, July 17th, 2010, from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org, where our broadcast archives are also available, thanks to the Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com. Great first hour tonight with Keith Alexander. As always, we addressed topics ranging from Mel Gibson to the latest episode with Sean and Leanne Toohey, diversity in banking, and set the stage for Bill Rowland, who joins me now. We will be discussing in great detail the flap between the NAACP and the Tea Party, which was, I guess, issued by official proclamation this week. How did the Tea Party respond? How should they have responded? And why? We're going to get into all of that and much more right now with Bill Rowland. Bill, how are you tonight?
James, I'm coming out of the deep freeze with my Viking helmet on and my battle axe in hand, and I'm ready to go with this.
That's the way I love to have my compatriots ready for war. And certainly, Bill, you are tonight. We, of course, always take the time, whoever's co-hosting with me on each respective week, whether it be you or Winston or Eddie, Keith, a combination of that quartet, we take the time to meet with each other, to share phone conversations, to determine what we're going to talk about for the forthcoming broadcast on Saturday night. And when you and I were talking, we've talked a couple of times this week, we thought that we should really set aside an entire hour to discuss what's happening between the NAACP and the Tea Party and why it's significant. Bill, I'll let you take it from there.
James, I think the air raid siren should have gone off at Tea Party headquarters around the country when Ben Jealous, the director of the NAACP, made the statement that the Tea Party movement must expel the racist elements within its ranks. Now, this was an ultimatum issued by the big potentate at the NAACP and was a shot across the bow, really, to the Tea Party movement. Now, I think the NAACP is well aware that the Tea Party movement does not have a central command, does not have a war room where the leaders get together and discuss policy and, of course, public relations or anything like that. So I think being well aware that the Tea Party is a collective movement and a leaderless resistance, so to speak, to use an old term, that this would be a very effective way to create disharmony and disunity within the Tea Party ranks. Because certainly the reaction from some, and I'll say so-called Tea Party leaders, because the Tea Party movement claims it really has no leaders, has been fairly uneven. One Tea Party leader from Memphis gave a very good response. She says anytime that we, meaning the Tea Party members, stand up for ourselves, we're going to be called racist. Another Tea Party leader called the NAACP and one of the Black Panthers or the Black Panther movement race hustlers or something to that effect, and that they make their money by creating racially divisive issues. Now, that all may be true, and those reactions were entirely appropriate. That type of combative reaction to the NAACP and the Black Panthers is exactly what is needed, because what they really fear is open confrontation and a toe-to-toe standoff with some group that is determined to put up resistance. What they want, of course, is for everybody in the Tea Party to fall to the ground like fainting goats and just roll on the ground and writhe in agony over having heard the word racist. Well, that hasn't happened yet. But I think what's going on here, James, and this is I think the real point of what we're discussing this hour. I believe that Ben Jealous and the NAACP have an executioner's list of members of the Tea Party who they have labeled racist, that they will demand expulsions from the Tea Party movement. That is, they'll hand this list over to Sarah Palin or Dick Armey or somebody who has crowned themselves the leaders of the Tea Party movement, and that they will say, now kick these people out. And, of course, high-profile Tea Party participants like Dick Armey and Sarah Palin will have a much greater force and of personality and a much louder voice over the various networks than some poor little Tea Party spokesman from Spokane or Des Moines or someplace else. They're going to get the high-profile responses. And, you know, as I say, not some ordinary grassroots Tea Party leader. So, you know, this Ben Chavez will, Ben Jealous will broadcast these names, publicize these names. These are the people he will say are Tea Party racists. And then it'll be up to Sarah Palin and Dick Armey to call these people out or to demand and say that something will be done. We'll find this out and call these people out of the movement. And I think that that is what Ben Jealous is up to. And, you know, you never know. Maybe this list has already been decided by Sarah Palin and Dick Armey and Ben Jealous all in the same room. Who knows? But I can tell you that it is imperative that the Tea Party movement stand up to this frontal assault, because the NAACP is afraid of the political power they may represent. And the truth is that the Tea Party movement has been very successful in getting candidates nominated within various party, Republican Party primaries around the country. And this scares not only the NAACP, but the Republican Party as well.
Well, Bill, you have an excellent take on this matter. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we're discussing the proclamation that was issued at some gathering of NAACP participants last week, in which they denounced the entire Tea Party as a racist movement. It has racist elements. And, of course, that's what my book's all about. Racist simply means white person in today's political climate. People should not run from Marxist code words or Trotsky code words. And unfortunately, all too often they do. And it has this irrational fear of being called a name by someone who has never nor will ever be supportive of your conservative ideals absolutely baffles me. But time and time again, the liberals have found out, the cultural Marxists have found out, that they can absolutely derail conservative movements by just hurling out these baseless character smears like confetti. And you have people like Sarah Palin who, you know, go on record saying, oh no, oh my God, please, no, we're not racist. Oh, we hate racism. It gets you completely off topic. The Tea Party has the potential to be a force that can really help us reclaim America's destiny. But if, and only if, they keep their eye on the prize and not be concerned with what a bunch of civil rights flunkies and degenerates have to say about them.
Well, the NAACP is a gangster-type organization. You know, intimidation and coercion and leaning on people and threatening them with various actions or reactions is a form of gangsterism. And, you know, they don't want the public discourse out of their hands. They want to be able to control it with that one word, racism, which you'd think should have been worn down like a pencil eraser by now, but it still apparently is enough to dazzle people like Sarah Palin and, you know, people who are more concerned about what the media or the networks will say and how they will react than what the effect it may have on the movement itself. And for one thing, let's face it, if the names of certain people are broadcast or publicized that the NAACP has deemed racist, the fact is it's going to force a reaction from the groups or chapters or movements within a certain area, you know, in some part of the country. These chapters are going to have to make decisions about what to do. Are they going to stand up for these people? Are they going to get behind them? Or are they going to expel them? Are they going to kick them out? Well, if they kick them out, consider what's going to happen. Are you really, once that happens to somebody in your area and in your Tea Party group, are you really going to trust those people again? Are you going to feel as if your opinion may not be welcome and that anything you say about race may cause you to be ejected from the Tea Party movement? This tactic on the part of the NAACP, if the Tea Party movement caves into it, is going to create a tremendous amount of distrust and disunity and factionalism within the Tea Party movement.
Bill, got to take a break, but that is exactly the point. Ask yourself this: does the Tea Party really care who, does the NAACP really care who leads the Tea Parties? No, they want to destroy it. We'll be back to talk more about it.
When the truth is found to be. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Bill Rowland and I examining the volley that was hurled in the direction of the Tea Parties by the NAACP and how poorly the mainstream media ordained talking heads of the Tea Party have responded to accusations, further accusations, official accusations of racism. We're going to talk more about it right now, too. And I'll tell you this, and we've said it before, if everyone in the Tea Party had a copy of my book, they would build a movement that wins. And if you've not yet read my book, you need to do it. But better yet, be a service to the people who are out there trying to do something, or at least in theory. Give them this book. This book could be the Bible. It will release them from the shackles that currently inhibit their progress. They will be armed with the tools that will disable this socio-political nuclear bomb that is racism once and for all. If you want to buy my book for yourself or for a fellow Tea Party member, go to racismbook.com and do so tonight. And I tell you, in light of what's happened this week and the way I've seen people here in Memphis, with the exception of the one woman that Bill mentioned, and people on a national scale responding to these charges, there needs to be a lot of copies of racism, schmacism circulated to the Tea Party types. You can help be a part of that by going to racismbook.com tonight. And that being said, Bill, the NAACP apparently has teamed up with, in essence at least, the Black Panthers in their denunciation of the Tea Party. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this character named Zulu Shabazz, and I don't know where they come up with these names, but Zulu Shabazz also went on the warpath against the Tea Parties this week and appeared on some various shows and became a big controversial figure with regards to Glenn Beck, because I think Glenn Beck made some comments about Shabazz and his viewpoint. But, of course, we know Glenn Beck would be the first to cave in to accusations of racism. He's already Martin Luther King's stepchild as far as he's concerned. So he's already on the bandwagon and ready to drink the Kool-Aid that's given him by the NAACP. But he did sort of come out crossing swords with Zulu Shabazz. And what Shabazz has basically said is that he's ready to rumble with the Tea Party movement and that he's going to come face-to-face with them and Glenn Beck and wants to have a toe-to-toe with the Tea Party people. So, you see, on one hand, you've got the exalted NAACP issuing decrees and ultimatums from the top of the heap, and then down at the bottom, you have someone like this Zulu Shabazz coming out of a dark alley and making ominous threats, physical threats, basically, against members of the Tea Party. So you have the black power groups attacking from two different angles, one coming down from the top and the other coming up from the bottom. And so they're meeting in the middle there to try and throw up a real resistance against the Tea Party movement. And why are they doing this, and who are they working for? Obviously, this whole campaign started at the White House. Obama is in trouble as far as his popularity ratings. He is in trouble as far as what's going to happen in the congressional and senatorial elections coming up. By most indications, by most predictions, the Republicans, conservative Republicans, are going to gain seats in the House and the Senate. And this poses a real threat to Obama's power and his administration. And so the only counterforce that he could possibly use to stop or to intimidate the Tea Party movement would be groups like the NAACP and the Black Panthers, because they're the only groups that are organized to do this kind of thing. Let me mention, too, James, that there is an excellent documentary out right now. It is available on YouTube, called We Will Not Be Silenced. And this is a documentary that was made by a liberal Democrat. And it's a documentary about the extensive, overwhelming voter fraud and voter intimidation and tricks and schemes that were conducted by Obama supporters during the Democratic primary to steal the election from Hillary Clinton. Now, this is a documentary by liberal Democrats. This can't be thrown at the doorstep of the Tea Party movement. This is a liberal Democrat speaking out about the absolutely scandalous fraud that occurred at the caucus level in the Democratic Party to steal the election from Hillary Clinton. So, obviously, if the Obama campaign did that in 2008 to stop Hillary Clinton, they're going to use the same racial tactic against the Tea Party movement, and that is the in-your-face, out-of-my-way, whitey, you better shut up or else attitude that is supposed to make us shrivel up and die and hide from them and do as they say. We are now in a third-world political environment, and the white people in the Tea Party better wake up and realize their strength is in racial unity. You are facing a third-world African dictatorship if they don't get on their feet and stand up to this. Obviously, what is coming down the road is going to be a racial confrontation between the Tea Party and the NAACP, and the NAACP is going to try to stir up ordinary blacks against the Tea Party movement, and who knows where it will go from there. But, James, once again, go to the archives of this show. We predicted it all. We saw it coming, and people should have listened then instead of having to face the music now.
Well, there are many reasons why this show has become, over the years, the voice, the radio voice of the conservative right. And one of the reasons is, well, of course, we never back down. We never retreat, surrender, or apologize, and no one should apologize for being right. And certainly our belief that we are right grounds us in all that we do. But secondly, we have been quite the prognosticators here on this program. And, Bill, there are any number of examples we could draw from in which we predict sometimes years in advance that which eventually occurs. And one of them is this instance you're referring to now. And I tell you, I was talking to you about it about an hour prior to the show tonight, and I can't for the life of me understand why people are so paralyzed by being called an ugly name by people who oppose them to begin with. Why are so many people with at least nominally conservative instincts led to acquiesce and fall on their sword and attempt to curry favor with people like the NAACP? I mean, I just can't see why people don't see the solution as clearly as we do and understand that the NAACP isn't trying to help the Tea Parties by pointing out that, in their opinion, they're racist. They are trying to destroy the Tea Party by creating infighting and bickering and turning on one another. The Tea Party should just say, plain and simply, we don't care what you think. And that's really all they have to say, and then continue on with their work. But, of course, that's not what they're saying. Regrettably, they're saying far too much, and almost all of it is Well, senseless. I just don't know what else to say. And as you mentioned, Bill, as they continue to cut themselves and throw more blood into the water for these sharks, it will get progressively worse. Today it's the NAACP issuing a proclamation. Tomorrow it's the Black Panthers with bat in hand.
The fact is that white people in this country have succumbed to the racial conditioning.
Hey, Bill, sorry about that. We were closer to a break than I anticipated. Just hold that thought. We're going to pick it up right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Don't forget, friends, that coming up in the third hour, Winston Smith will be co-hosting with me as we interview Dr. Kevin McDonald and Bill Johnson of the American Third Position, the brand-new political party. Has received quite a bit of media coverage recently, and Kevin and Bill will be on to talk about that. They have also attracted the support of a two-time Olympic gold medalist, so a lot of good and positive news there in the third hour. We want you to stay tuned for that. And also a reminder that I will be appearing in Jackson, Mississippi this Thursday, July 22nd, for a meeting of a Council of Conservative Citizens chapter down there, and we're going to be at a nice luxury hotel that Thursday night, this coming Thursday night. I'll be doing a book signing. There's going to be a dinner there. So if you want to come, you want more information, you want to RSVP, that's this Thursday for anybody within driving range of Jackson, Mississippi. Email media@thepoliticalcesspool.org for more information. Media, M-E-D-I-A, media@thepoliticalcesspool.org for more information. Bill Rowland co-hosting with me this hour. We have been talking at length, the entire hour, in fact, about the NAACP, the Black Panthers versus the Tea Party, all the media attention that has been given to this story this week, how the Tea Parties have responded. Now we're going to be talking about how they should have responded and why. But, you know, I say again, when the Tea Parties came together a little over a year ago and became a great grassroots phenomenon, I saw and still do see so much potential. They could really play a monumental role in the reclamation of America's destiny. They could have a very real and tangible political impact if they will refrain from doing that which they seem hell-bent on doing, and that's destroying themselves from within. Bill, you were making some final points to that effect before the last break. I'd like to ask you to continue on and then go into why and how the Tea Party should have responded and what they're going to need to do in order to save themselves from their leaders, or at least their assumed leaders.
The first thing the Tea Party members have to do is overcome and exorcise really three generations of racial brainwashing and conditioning, because white people in this country have been persuaded and have been browbeaten into believing that we are responsible for all of the failures and all of the sorrows of blacks in this country and in the world. And this is a guilt complex that's really sort of self-serving and conceited in a way, because it also assumes that we can fix all these problems, whatever they are, that we can fix welfare dependency, that we can fix the crime problem in black communities, that we can fix black illegitimacy, that we can somehow, and the AIDS epidemic in the black community, that somehow we're responsible for repairing and fixing and comforting all these little hurts and wounds. But the truth is, James, that blacks in this country have been in continuous contact and been continuously involved and situated within a very high form of Western civilization, of European civilization, for the last 400 years. And the fact is that in that 400 years, they have abjectly failed to assimilate. Now, that is simply a racial reality. And for whites to ignore that and to assume that blacks are going to suddenly awaken to the joys of our way of thinking and to abide by parliamentary principles, protocols, rules, and etiquette is a fool's errand. And the fact is that if you look at any city in this country, or anywhere in the world for that matter, that is overwhelmingly black, majority black, and is governed by blacks, it's a third world city. Years ago, Detroit was called the only third world city in North America. Why? Well, it wasn't because of the weather, and it wasn't because of the economy. It was because the city is ruled and mostly populated by blacks. Now, that's just a racial reality. That's not our fault. And the Tea Party people have to realize that they're dealing on a different level entirely when they are dealing with black empowerment militants. These people think and act tribally. They do not think in terms of justice. They don't think or act in terms of reconciliation. That's a word they use to exploit us. That's not a word that we've ever benefited from in terms of dealing with blacks. Racial reconciliation means whites take a beating and give up something to make blacks happy. It's not a reconciliation in terms of mutual agreement. So the Tea Party people had better realize right now they are in dealing with black power militants who are determined to have these white activists and this white movement brought under their thumb and to become obedient to their desires. And it's a very, very bad mistake, as they say, to back away from a Black Panther when he's staring you down, because he's going to pounce on you. And it's the same with the Black Panthers, the group. If you back away from them, they're going to pounce on you. In fact, one way to make a Black Panther run away in the jungle is to make a lot of noise, to bang something, and to stand up. So, you know, the Tea Party movement has to realize this, that any hint of weakness in their language or their responses is going to be exploited by the NAACP and the Black Panthers.
What was that, Bill?
I said any weakness on the part of the Tea Party movement or the leaders of the Tea Party movement is going to be exploited by the NAACP.
No, well, you're exactly right. And again, you know, for all of the success that this show has enjoyed, one of the great reasons for that has been our ability or willingness to just stand up for what we believe in and not allow enemies of our positions to dictate the terms of engagement. You know, we had no formal political training before we started this radio program in 2004. None of us are political science majors. And yet still, this show has become one of the most talked about talk radio shows in the country. And for good reason. And if we can figure it out, it just doesn't make sense how these folks can't figure it out too. And maybe they do. Maybe there are a lot of good Tea Party people out there who understand the things we're saying, who agree with us, and they're just not getting any press. Maybe the mainstream media has controlled and biased as it is only giving the people like Sarah Palin the ink to try and discourage the good people out there. I don't know, Bill, but the bottom line is, regardless of whoever is getting ink, what matters is how these local chapters are administered in the Tea Parties. And if they don't stand up in exactly the same form and fashion that you've prescribed, they're going to be obsolete very soon. We saw the exact same thing happen with the Minutemen Project. And it was quite discouraging because they came in like gangbusters. They did a very good job right away. And then they were put into the dustbin of history 2 years later. That could very well be the fate of the Tea Parties.
Also victims of the racism scheme, of the racism.
Sure they were. Sure they were.
They were shouted, "Oh, you're racist for wanting to keep these poor Mexicans out of our country, and you're racist for this and you're racist for that." Once again, they had to fend off this word racism, and they did not react strongly enough to it. What did they do? Well, you and I saw this with our own eyes. They had a few blacks come up and give speeches, and they had a few Mexicans come up and give speeches, but ultimately that failed. And so this is the message that, and the lesson I hope the Tea Party movement learns. First, the first lesson is you don't ever run from the word racist, and you don't ever single out members in your organization or allow them to become victims of that word in terms of letting the NAACP or the Black Panthers beat them and run them out of the organization. Use language that indicates, for instance, I know one of the favorite terms that I used to use was, you know, I'm not going to be held hostage by a word invented by Marxists to keep white people from speaking up for themselves. I'm not going to be held hostage by your words. And in fact, I'm going to speak plainly, and we're going to pursue our agenda regardless of your opposition. You know, we'll see who wins in the end. That kind of confrontational language, that kind of combative language, is absolutely necessary when you're dealing with the NAACP, because that they understand that kind of thinking, or they react to that kind of thinking. If you're standing up to them, they don't have any room to move. They don't have any room to throw punches, because they're hoping you'll back away so that they can knock you to the ground and kick you while you're down. But as long as you're standing your ground and you keep standing your ground for using the same rhetoric, using the same language, we're not going to be held hostage by your word. We're not going to be held hostage by the word racism. You're not going to dictate our policy. You're not going to direct this organization from the hostile position you've taken. This kind of thing sets your group against their group, and that's where you want to be.
Bill, we'll be right back with you right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. James Edwards, Bill Rowland here for the entirety of this, our second hour of tonight's live broadcast. We've been talking about the NAACP, the Black Panthers, that ilk, versus the Tea Party, how the Tea Party has responded versus how they should have responded and why. Bill, on the face of this thing, it's just another senseless proclamation from the NAACP. But as you've mentioned, there is certainly much more to it than that, and the repercussions are certainly far-reaching. Do you think it was worth dedicating a full hour of our program addressing this one single issue?
I do, because I think the Tea Party organization, the Tea Party movement, needs to understand what is going on. Somebody has to sound the alarm bell. Somebody has to turn on the air raid siren. This is not about a debate about race. This is about being the victim of a racial attack. And the only way to fight back is to fight back as a race, as white people. Don't pretend to yourselves that getting a big fancy black spokesman or a handful of blacks to strut and parade around on your dais or on your podium is going to make any difference to the NAACP. It won't. Back in the 1990s, when the Confederate flag fights were going on all over the South, and you know, people who support the Confederate flag were fighting all over the South to keep the flags on state flags, to keep the flag flying on public places. That, you know, one group, or there was always somebody that wanted to get a black spokesman up and a black spokesman to defend the flag and to represent various Southern heritage groups. It was a complete failure. It did not deter the NAACP in the least. Didn't influence them in the least, didn't impress them in the least. So that's a fool's errand. Don't go on that fool's errand. If you're a majority white movement, if it's overwhelmingly white, then be white about it. Don't try to pretend that you're a diverse group, full of, with its own rainbow of races and colors and peoples. It's a lie, and you know it. Don't live a lie. The next thing is, of course, eventually go on the offensive. Take the offensive. Don't be afraid to protest in front of the field offices of the NAACP around the country. Don't be afraid to show up with signs that say, we're not held hostage by racism. We will not be held hostage by racism. We are not your slaves. We are not running from you. Here we are. Anything. Let them know that you're in every city in the country. Let them know that you're at the ground level, and let them know you're ready to stand up to them there as well. Because they count on catching you just under certain circumstances and off guard. And once you allow them to have the advantage, they're going to continue exploiting that advantage. Finally, learn something about the individual leaders and members of the NAACP, and don't be afraid to get personal. Don't be afraid to go after them if they've got criminal records, if they are perverts, if they have had promiscuous marriages, if they have been involved in sexual scandals. Don't be afraid to go after them on a personal level. They're high-profile, well-paid representatives of an organization. Don't be afraid to go after them personally, because that's where they're weakest. Because the NAACP has always had its little hidden scandals. Don't be afraid to exploit that. Take them on a personal level, take them on an organizational level, take them on a rhetorical level, and take them on in a public way. So this way, get them to run for cover. And they will eventually. They'll give up the fight if they realize that you're not going to go away and you're not going to yield an inch.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's why Bill Rowland is a co-host on this radio program. I can tell you that. He's been here since the very beginning. He will always be here. What a wordsmith. What an eloquent spokesman for our issues. And I tell you what, if you follow his recipe there, you will have a movement that can win. And unfortunately, right now, that is not what the Tea Party is. And at the end of the day, who is their opposition? You know, clowns like the NAACP and Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson this week, who called LeBron James a slave. LeBron James is set to make $100 million over the next 6 years. He's a slave to the white man. That's what Jesse Jackson said. You can read the article for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But thankfully, Bill, even though I haven't seen it yet on a wide enough scale in the Tea Party movement, I have seen some indications of a pulse out there that other people, and not just us and our listeners, are beginning to wake up to this racist racket. We saw in Lexington, Kentucky, a couple of weeks ago, a booth at the Kentucky Fair there. The vendors were selling T-shirts that said, "Yep, I'm a racist." And on the back, it listed the reasons why they're racist, or at least being called racist. And the reasons were, "I'm a racist because I support the Second Amendment. You know, I worship Jesus Christ," so on and so forth. And here now, a mainstream CBS sports columnist is even calling out Jesse Jackson for the sheer insanity of his claim that people like LeBron James are slaves. And here's what he said. Now, read directly from the story at CBSSports.com. "I'm beginning to think that civil rights activist is the new euphemism for mentally retarded. Even liberals in the mainstream media are calling Jesse Jackson a fraud, a clown, a punk. Jesse Jackson didn't simply complain about Dan Gilbert. He compared Gilbert to a slave owner, which makes LeBron James the slave," the story reads, "which makes Jesse Jackson the biggest idiot in this story." And that's saying something, because this story includes Jim Gray and his question about fingernails. Gilbert, who is the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, ought to be home free, because the enmity of Jackson is basically a free pass. If Jesse Jackson thinks you're a disgruntled slave master, then you're not. Simple as that. A lunatic on the fringe, a liberal version of Rush Limbaugh, so says this writer. Jackson lost the right a long time ago to be taken seriously on race, but in recent years, Jackson has come to represent the inverse. When he says one thing on race, you can believe the opposite. I tell you what, Bill, that's pretty strong words coming from someone employed by CBS, and it's something that you might find said on this very show.
Well, I've been impressed lately about the forthright reactions to some of this race hustling and racial gangsterism on the part of blacks. And, oddly enough, I think that much of the forthright and candid remarks are going to come more and more from so-called liberal Democrats. Because, as I say, this documentary that covers the extensive voter fraud during the Democratic primaries is going to make a lot of liberal Democrats angry, and they're going to begin to speak out about being robbed of the election in 2008. And, you never know from which direction you'll get a new flow of energy. And I think it's going to come out of the Democratic Party. I think the Democratic Party could very well split over this because, as well as I do, Hillary Clinton is much too smart and much too cunning to simply lay down and take a beating like that unchallenged. Don't think that she didn't have her hand in that documentary and that she wants revenge for being cheated out of the presidency. Now, not that I would have ever voted for her, but I got to say, I wouldn't blame her for going on the warpath if I had been cheated out of an election like that after waiting all my life to become the first woman president of the United States. And so you look for more and more hostile reactions, I think, from the liberal Democrats. So, it's not necessarily a lost cause. And some people wake up when you least expect them. And the people you least expect to wake up are the most wide awake. So a lot of this racial, exploitation of whites and this racial bullying and intimidation of whites by the use of the word racism may fail at its most unlikely level. And that's going to be at the level of the liberal Democrats who put it all in place in the first place.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Bill Rowland's take on the matter, and a fine take on it it is. If you have a friend in the Tea Party movement that is out there working in the streets trying to get something constructive done in this, our paleoconservative movement, then you need to direct them to this hour's broadcast archive, which will be available for you immediately at thepoliticalcesspool.org or libertynewsradio.com. They need to hear what we have to say, and if they take our advice to heart, it could be the dawning of a new era in America led by the Tea Parties. They need a copy of my book available for sale tonight. Please buy the book and give it to these people. They need it. They need it bad. Racismbook.com is the address, racismbook.com. Bill, thank you so much for your intellect, your wisdom, your thoughts tonight, your commentary. We love you, buddy.
James, it's always more fun than I deserve. And God bless. And until next time, this is Bill Rowland signing off.
All right, Bill signing off, but we're certainly not. We've got an hour left in the show, and waiting on deck are Dr. Kevin McDonald and Bill Johnson of the American Third Position. They will be our guests during the third hour, which will begin in just a couple of minutes. Winston Smith will be here to co-host with me as the political cesspool rolls on tonight, 17th of July, 2010, here on the Liberty News Radio Network. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, our website. We'll be back right after this.
Of the Political Cesspool, coming your way right after these messages.
They pull the ride.